You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We have more animals coming into the feedlots, fewer of them leaving. And so that is how we end up with the higher inventory on May 1 versus a year ago.
That's USDA livestock analyst Michael McConnell. U.S. cattle on feed moving higher in May. Placements up. Fed cattle marketing's slowing sharply. The actual on-feed number, 11.6 million head as of May 1st. That's up 2% from a year earlier. And as far as expectations, pretty much in line. April placements, 1.7 million head. That was up 6% from 2025 and up sharply from what the trade expected. Marketing's the bigger market signal. USDA says April fed cattle marketing's 1.64 million head, down 10% from last year.
That continues the pattern that we've seen through much of the year, where we've seen slower rate of marketings out of feedlots, as well as slower steer and heifer slaughter. But much of that is likely due to the fact that although beef prices have been increasing and seasonally have been higher than a year ago, the price for fed cattle right now has also been increasing, but at a higher rate. Margins for packers are not as strong now.
USDA also releasing their cold storage report on Friday. Meat inventories remain tighter than a year ago, even as freezer supplies increased during the month of April. Total red meat supplies up 4% from March, down 4% from 1 year ago. Beef stocks up slightly, but still 3% below last year. And it really fits the broader cattle market picture, where tight cattle supplies and lower beef production continue to support prices. Pork supplies, they're up 9% from March, but still 4% below a year ago. Pork belly stocks up 15% for the month, 8% lower than last year, and poultry inventories were steady. Now, U.S. red meat production fell in April, but pork output reached a record high, with heavier hogs helping offset a smaller slaughter pace. USDA says commercial red meat production totaling 4.46 billion pounds, down 3% from April, beef production accounting for most of that decline. Farm financial stress is increasing. Kansas City Federal Reserve says deterioration, though, remains gradual and limited across much of ag. Report says low loan delinquency rates, stable farmland values, and modest leverage helping keep the sector from deeper stress. Crop producers remain under pressure after 3 years of narrow profit opportunities, elevated production costs, and low prices, and recent volatility in energy and fertilizer markets adding more uncertainty for this year. While summer grilling season underway, U.S. meat demand still strong, even as consumers face record beef prices and tighter cattle supplies. American Farm Bureau Federation says USDA expects U.S. consumption of beef, pork, and chicken to increase this year. Beef, though, remains the highest price pressure point. Farm Bureau says all fresh beef averaged a record $9.64 per pound last month, while uncooked beef steaks averaged $13.02. Smaller U.S. cattle herd, drought, higher cost, and border-related disruptions to cattle supply continue to limit production. Pork a little more balanced. Pork chop prices up modestly from last year. USDA projects pork production, though, at 27.98 billion pounds. Exports remain important, led by Mexico, Japan, China, and other major buyers. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Choice Select price spread has narrowed significantly this spring, with Select sometimes priced above Choice due to reduced Select supply, dropping from 12% in December to average 8% of fed cattle since March.
Paul Dykstra is Director of Supply Management with Certified Angus Beef.
Strong ground beef demand and lower cull cow harvest have also boosted 90% lean trim prices. As domestic lean supply declines, imports also increase to supplement ground beef balance. Meanwhile, Certified Angus Beef cutout premiums remain stable, slightly below last year, but commanding a consistent premium of $17 per hundredweight above USDA Choice year to date.
Now, Don Close is Senior Protein Analyst with Terrain.
Since the basing at the COVID-19 low, the cattle market has done nothing but climb a continuous but healthy wall of worry. The current trend of the market has been in place for just under 6 years and rallied just short of $150 a hundredweight. Driven by ever-tightening cattle supplies and, more importantly, a robust surge in demand as consumer diets have become more protein-driven, meanwhile, the market has faced a slew of challenges affecting supplies, exports, and prices. We're now facing another great challenge with the Iran war, which will likely cause another volatility speed bump on this historic rally. How long that volatility will last depends on how long an effect lasts on consumers' gasoline budgets. But recent history suggests that the rally will prevail. So what is the wall of worry? It's a bull market that has plenty of challenges weighing against it, and therefore buyers willing to take the risk of buying what others want to sell. In no particular order, the challenges that this rally has already faced include the effect of cattle on feed extra days and delayed marketings, creating additional tonnage as a defense for contracting tighter fed cattle supplies, a challenging export situation over the last year and a half, partially due to escalating prices, but mostly due to cutoff in exports to China as a result of expired export inspection approvals, White House intervention to increase beef imports by raising Argentine import quotas, continuous increases in retail beef prices that were feared to drive away consumer demand, the closure of the Mexican border to cattle imports because of the spread of New World screwworm south of the border. The additional contracting supplies as a result of the closure not only drove up cattle prices, but also forced a regional imbalance in supplies. Changes in packing capacity, including the January closure of Tyson beef plant in Lexington, Nebraska, and reduced capacity at Tyson's Amarillo, Texas plant to a single shift, and the March labor strikes at the JBS plant in Greeley. On February 28, the U.S. and Israel launched military action against Iran in a retaliatory action. Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz and has continuously threatened to place mines in the strait. 20 to 25% of the world's seaborne oil trade and 20% of liquefied natural gas goes through the strait. Crude oil prices have surged to over $100 a barrel, while U.S. domestic gasoline prices have climbed above $4 a gallon. The prices have topped $5 a gallon beginning in April. While the spike in energy prices is not expected to last very long, the war continues to escalate with more Middle East countries getting involved. There is no question that this additional strain on consumer disposable income will ultimately impact consumer spending. At this time, there is just too much uncertainty regarding the war's duration and reopening of the Strait of Hormuz to determine if the war will be an event to put an end to the current rally in cattle prices.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Through the partnership of Rangeland Trusts, we work squarely on advancing federal and state policy to make conservation tools and incentives work better for ag producers. That is our main objective.
Eric Glenn is CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust.
How do we look at these programs? How do we adjust policy to make them work better for ag producers, better for ag operations? How do we reduce some of the bureaucratic and administrative hurdles that landowners have to deal with when working with these? And effectively expand that toolbox again. We believe that conservation can be a critical tool to ensuring that we continue to have family farms and ranches into the future, and we have a robust ag economy. We need to make those tools within that conservation toolbox work as well for those producers and those families as we possibly can. So through PORT, we advance federal policy and state policy, but each of our individual member organizations are advancing similar policies at their state level as well.
But is the future still bright?
What we need to know is this isn't just about conservation. It's about rural community resilience. It's about rural economic development, and that is such a big issue along with this generational transition. How do we keep these rural communities intact? How do we keep them in a place where they continue to provide the great cultural and traditional values that the rural communities do? And conservation is a tool to help with that. And I think that's really important for people, particularly policymakers, to understand, because a lot of conservation groups just talk about conservation of the resources. We really want to focus on it's the conservation of these land stewards that steward these properties and the communities that they're a part of. We can keep those land stewards, those family farms and ranches, and those rural communities in a solid place. You know, I think the future of the country, the future of the West, and all other places in between is a lot brighter than if we just continue to forget about them. And I think there's a little too much forgetting about our rural communities, today, and we need to change that. The other piece I would tell you is for landowners that are thinking about this, the biggest piece of advice that I can give them is choose your partner well. The entity that you are going to partner with, if you decide to do a conservation easement, make sure that their values align with yours. I think that is just so critical. And then recognize that everything in that easement is negotiable, and landowners should be asking questions, and they should be negotiating with that land trust partner or the government entity, if they choose to do an easement with a government entity, really push that entity to build that easement in a way that works best for that landowner and that family's operations, not just today, but long into the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
An unprecedented water shortage in South Texas could soon increase production costs for refined products in a major U.S. refining hub.
Frank Tang is Senior Energy Editor with Dow Jones.
On May 12, the Corpus Christi City Council announced it expects to reach level one water emergency in September, meaning its supply will not be able to meet demand 6 months after that. Corpus also approved the introduction of surcharges for users exceeding their allocation levels. The city is currently hoping these surcharges will be a strong disincentive for users to cut back their water demand instead of using the aggressive measure of turning off water supply. Corpus is home to the Valero, Flint Hill Resources, and Sigel refineries with a combined production capacity of almost 1 million barrels per day. Most analysts do not expect these measures alone will significantly affect national prices, as Corpus represents 5% of the national refining capacity. But the prolonged droughts could support higher crack spreads and fuel prices, especially if it overlaps with hurricanes and strong summer demand at a time when global product supplies are already strained.
From energy to cattle, Terrell Plant is a Cattle Facts analyst, talks about the divergence in fed cattle.
The fed market has staged a dynamic rally over the past month, surging from around 246 per hundredweight to the 260 to 265 per hundredweight area. Fed prices are on pace to average around 260 per hundredweight in May, emphatically establishing a new all-time record. However, cash prices far outpaced live cattle futures, with cash trading higher up until this week, while futures last marked an intraday high on May 1st, but have failed to trade into new highs since. This has resulted in multiple weeks of cash and futures divergence, with strong basis levels and positive margins for fed cattle increasing the marketing pace in recent weeks. Leverage has also reached extreme levels, increasing between 62 and 63%, which is historically high, especially for the month of May. The combination of multi-week divergence and extreme leverage suggested the cash has limited upside past the 260 to 265 per hundredweight area and is showing signs of pulling back in the near term. Timing-wise, the cash market high in the first half of the year has occurred in May or June the past 3 years, and 2026 appears to be positioned to follow suit. Live cattle futures have continued to trade defensively this week. Every contract, except June live cattle, has violated its respective established uptrend, signaling risk to cash and futures on the horizon. June live cattle closed the week at 249.30, while August live cattle finished at 239.60. Look for basis to converge on the June contract as expiration approaches, which will mean lower cash prices, higher futures, or a combination of both. Cash prices are expected to maintain a positive basis against June initially as convergence develops, suggesting cash trade can still hold between 250 and 260 per hundredweight. The broader supply fundamentals continue to remain supportive into the third quarter, with placed against supplies remaining below a year ago. However, placed against supplies are expected to grow seasonally in July, August, and September. The practical range for fed cattle is projected between 230 and 250 in the third quarter. Light to moderate trade has occurred in the north. Trade was at 265 live and 415 dressed early in the week, which is steady with the prior week. However, it softened towards 258 to 260 live and 408 to 412 dressed later in the week. Moderate to active trade occurred in the south, mainly at 260 live with light volume at 258, steady with last week's volume to $2 softer.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Fundamentally, I think of the cattle marketing, and there's a cattle marketing committee discussion that happens at the national conference. Oftentimes, cattle marketing committee is concerned about the competitiveness of the marketplace, whether there are ample bids, whether there is enough transparency and competition in the market to find and receive a fair price.
Wasn't that long ago that was the hottest topic in the industry. Brad Lubin, University of Nebraska at Lincoln, ag economist.
At this point in time, when cattle supplies are so short, it's actually the cattle producers that may have the most leverage in the market, as opposed to traditional perspectives that it's the feeders in the agribusiness sector that has more control. Well, at the moment, then, cattle feeders and ultimately cattle calf producers are benefiting from that leverage in the market, and suddenly price discovery isn't quite the issue it was. It's still an issue. There are still concerns. There's still national discussions of concentration in the sector and an analysis of whether the sector is competitive or not. But the immediate focus on price discovery and price transparency isn't quite the same as it is when prices are struggling. That doesn't mean that producers don't face risk, and that doesn't mean that producers aren't still concerned about the bottom line. At these record prices, we also have record capital investments in those animals and volatility in the marketplace that is dramatic from one day or one week to the next. So producers may be enjoying record prices and record returns for the moment. They're also facing much greater risks than they have. One of the tools that we see that's also discussed during these meetings and across the industry is the use of some of the newer risk management products. Livestock revenue protection is a price risk management product. The pasture range and forage program is a drought focused production management component. Helps you manage your grazing capacity. So both of those insurance tools have really come on board in the last 20 to 25 years. Both of those have grown dramatically in terms of their usage and have become an important part of the cattle producer's risk management portfolio.
He also talks about some safety net risk management products.
Both of those products have grown from pilot to really widespread adoption in the last several years, and they have seen substantially increased support levels in terms of federal support for what we call the premium subsidy or the cost share the Fed provides. Producers face a price break in terms of the premium they pay for the insurance. It's not yet on par with what the federal government subsidizes on the crop side of the ledger. So there is some discussion, some question of how much federal support is there? Is it enough? Should there be more? There's also some question always of particularly the price risk management products, livestock revenue protection or livestock gross margin or some of those other products. Do they really cover all of the risk that a producer faces? They're tied to a national price that leaves basis risk in there. They're identified according to a futures transaction or a futures based price, and so the specifics of that contract don't necessarily match what everybody's producing. It leaves some gaps or at least some potential concerns about how well the tools work, but clearly they do provide help and they've been adopted widely.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Trade policy has also become a risk.
Dr. Matt Wolf is a specialty crop analyst with Terrain.
Though not immediately visible in aggregate shipping data, market trading trends show shifts in competitiveness. China and Hong Kong, once our top destination, now consistently imports more almonds from Australia due to preferential trade agreements, despite Australia producing a fraction of California's volume. Though re-exports through Vietnam can complicate how much California product gets to China, rerouting introduces more trade risk, friction, and costs into the supply chain. What about opportunities? With the industry's strengths and weaknesses clear, the focus turns to how they interact to shape future opportunity. While volatility has made optimism harder to muster, many foundational strengths remain intact. The constraints revealed under stress also help clarify where adaption is most visible, echoing Churchill's quote that difficulties mastered are opportunities won. Market development is one such opportunity, given that per capita consumption remains low in many countries. India has emerged as the industry's largest destination, supported by population growth, rising incomes, and improving policy dynamics. But India is well behind even the modest U.S. consumption, and we need to import 6 billion shelled pounds to reach U.S. per capita consumption levels. Recent reductions in sales taxes on nuts and a new U.S.-India trade agreement could further support long-term demand growth, reflecting a shift in India's cautious stance toward free trade historically. Food trends also create avenues for adaption. Interest in health-oriented, protein-dense foods has never been higher and is likely to introduce new opportunities for almonds if innovation remains a focus, even as competition intensifies across categories. Given the health profile and versatility of almonds, they have much to gain as consumer preferences continue to shift. At the grower level, lower land values may also present entry or expansion opportunities as the market continues to adjust, especially for younger growers looking to enter the industry, existing growers expanding operations, strategic buyers looking for ground for water purposes. With new plantings remaining low, replanting in anticipation of lower almond supply down the line may be a smart strategy for some growers. Now, onto the threats. Persistent risks can limit opportunities. While many risks cannot be identified before their impacts are felt, proactively hedging against known risks helps support long-term economic sustainability. Geopolitical instability continues to threaten global demand, particularly in the Middle East, a key export region. Rising energy prices and renewed inflationary pressure could further weaken global growth and consumer purchasing power. Given almonds are a higher cost item, they are likely to be especially impacted relative to cheaper, more demand inelastic commodities like rice, wheat, and eggs. Domestically, changing consumer habits pose another challenge. Though data is scarce, Google Trend data suggests almond-based categories face increased competition, with interest in almond milk, butter, and oil lagging alternatives such as oat milk, animal proteins, and other alternative oils like avocado and sunflower. Additionally, the emergence of more accessible GLP-1s has implications for consumer demand. Early evidence suggests users reduce consumption and spending on nuts as snacking declines, potentially creating additional headwinds for almond demand. Though almonds have many desirable characteristics for GLP-1 users, snacking tends to decrease. Depending on how prevalent GLP-1s may become, this trend among early wave users could affect the high percentage of almonds sold through the snacking channels. Reflection is not always easy, particularly after years defined by low prices and rising costs. Yet it remains essential. While recent stress highlighted real vulnerabilities, it did not erase the structural strengths that supported decades of growth. The industry will continue to face risks, but also identifiable opportunities.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.